What caught me off guard more than anything was the suddenness of her reaction. It could not have been more than 5 seconds from the time the words left my mouth until the time her face showed a prelude of what was about to occur, which turned out to be one of the most epic emotional meltdowns I've ever experienced. She lost her shit so entirely that I was questioning what I had done, what I had said, and just how impactful it was going to be, not just in this moment, but for the weeks, months, and potentially years to come. This is what happens when men unknowingly trigger the amygdala in a woman's brain. The amygdala has a little center, it's like an almond, in the back of their brains, and we all have one, but for some reason with women, it's a little bit different. It triggers so much fear and anxiety and emotion that it's almost entirely impossible to understand. Today, we're going to be talking about women, fear, the amygdala, and how it causes us so much confusion as men as we have interactions with women. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Many of you know when I was 25 years old, I got custody of my son, which was wonderful on one hand, but on the other hand, it really blew up my life financially, independence-wise. I had to sell a condo that I was a part owner of and lived in as a swinging bachelor. And I had to move into my parents' house to raise this child because I needed help financially and physically. So I moved into the basement of my parents' house at age, I guess, 26. And for the next few years, that was my destiny, to be a single dad living in the basement of my mom's house. It doesn't get much lower than that. But I dug myself out, saved up some money for a down payment on a little townhouse nearby, and I was ready to go. Now, during this little hiatus from my swinging singles days, I still managed to develop some relationships. And one of them was this lovely young woman named, we'll call her Sandy. Sandy was a country girl and she was cute. And she really loved me a lot. I mean, just a lot. And I took that for granted, as we do, you know. And I was, I bought the house, but I had not moved in yet. And we were prepping the house for move-in because it needed some, you know, just cosmetic upgrades, paint and stuff like that. And Sandy, she was right there helping me the whole time. She had some good ideas and we were doing stuff, you know. I think I even replaced the toilet because she said, you need to replace the toilet. So I replaced the toilet. We painted everything. I mean, we just cleaned that house up and it was just looking great, you know. So as we're finishing up after a good solid week of prepping the house for move-in, she says something to the effect of, once we move in, and I can't remember what followed, but I do remember my response to that was, well, I wasn't planning on you moving in. Oh man, I hit it hard. Yeah, I hit it perfect on the nose. It was like I had pushed the button, you know, on the amygdala. And out from her came this extraordinary amount of energy that I never, never could have anticipated. It was extraordinary. She laid into me with tears and yelling and screaming, and her beautiful little face just crumpled up into something I could not even recognize as being human anymore. She was so angry. She had turned red. She was kind of a strawberry blonde, so the red just sort of blended her face in with her hair. It just kind of turned into this little female red monster. Oh, and I couldn't say anything. I could not speak. I mean, she just continuously had a stream of expletives followed by accusations and insults that went on. It seemed like forever, but it couldn't have been more than 15 minutes. And then she just stormed out of the house and slammed the door behind her. I thought sure she was going to break the glass in the door, but she didn't. And I remember just standing there, feeling like I had just been in a fight. Like, you know that sense of after the adrenaline has left your body and you just go, oh, what the hell was that? That was my experience. Fortunately, that's the worst case scenario. That's the worst one I've had to come across. However, I'm sure that you guys, if you've had any kind of relationship with a woman for any length of time, many of you have had some similar experience. Maybe not quite as intense as that, but you recognize it. Women live their lives from a place of fear. And I have talked about this a great deal. And there's an enormous difference between men and women. Even though physiologically, technically, we are very similar, the way the parts work together in men and women are completely different. You and I can walk across the mall parking lot at 2 o'clock in the morning and never worry about a thing. A woman can be just in the dimness of the sunset and she's walking across the parking lot with something clenched between her fingers and her fists just in case she has to punch somebody in the face with a key or something, which I don't know what they think that's going to do, like how much time they think that's going to buy them. I mean, if a guy's really intent on taking them down, getting punched with a key isn't going to make that big a difference. But that's the way they think. They're always in that state of fear. And that fear drives so much of their behavior that it literally is omnipresent. So I'm going to give you just a quick biology lesson about the amygdala. It's a region of the brain that's job is to identify threats. And once a threat is identified, it triggers a cascade of events throughout your body that prepares you for fight or flight. Your sympathetic nervous system literally gets turned on by the amygdala. So your adrenaline levels are going to fill your body. You're just going to get pumped on adrenaline. Cortisol is going to be released. That's going to create an enormous cascade of blood sugar going sky high. So you are loaded for energy, for bear. You are ready to fight. You are ready to run. You're ready to save your own life in this moment. It turns off the prefrontal cortex. So this is the part of your brain where rational thought occurs. This is where all the decision-making processes occur. So that comes offline. So you basically get downgraded from a human being to some kind of an animal, basically a chimp with really bad skin, I guess, I don't know. But that's what happens. Now for men, this amygdala is not nearly as sensitive as it is in women. It has been shown that the amygdala in women seems to be triggered at much lower levels of stress or threat than men's amygdala. And this causes women to be in this state of heightened emotional threat all the time. They are always thinking that there is something around the corner that's gonna get them. When I talk in other videos about women needing to feel safe in relationships, this is what I'm talking about. I sometimes wonder if I'm making sense when I'm talking about the way women experience life, because obviously I'm not a woman, but from what I've observed and read and researched, safety is critical to their well-being, and they cannot feel safe in an environment where there is any kind of a threat. And sometimes just the threat that you're not giving them enough attention, I know that sounds ridiculous, but that can also be perceived as a threat into a woman's amygdala, which can cause her to trigger into behaviors that would be defensive. Now, if you watched my last video, I think from earlier this week, I went on and on and on about how women are a protected class, you know, and they have been in our society since the beginning of time. We had to preserve women, because with women we could always repopulate the tribe if we had to. Well, that protective class mentality is tied to that amygdala. And so women, not only do men have to protect women, but women have to protect women. And this is where things get kind of crazy, because the women protecting the women means that they can essentially justify or rationalize almost any behavior that they feel insulates them from some kind of a threat that they perceive. And this gets kind of wacky when you think about it. So when I'm walking around these trails in the woods with these three dogs off leash, there's a lot of wildlife here. I know you guys don't see a lot of it, but there's a ton of it. There's lots of deer, there's foxes, there's possums, there's skunks, there's raccoons. I don't think what else. There's coyotes. Anyway, tons of wildlife. There's an occasional bear. There's an occasional black bear that'll stroll in here for whatever reason. But anyway, tons of snakes too. But so I'm wandering around out here with my dogs, and frequently they're off leash during the week because there's nobody else around. So I have the run of the place, which is wonderful. The wildlife, when they see the dogs are obviously predators, they will generally scatter. Especially though, the female wildlife. It's always kind of shocked me that deer would be afraid of the dogs. You know, these deer, they probably weigh 100 and, I don't know, at the low end, say for a full-grown deer, 120, 130 pounds to maybe up to 200 pounds for a full-grown deer, full-grown female. And the males, they can be even bigger. I've seen them, they're probably 250 sometimes. They're huge. I mean, they got the full rack, they're huge. Anyway, so I'm walking around out here, and when we see these female deer, especially when they have their young, man, they go into alert mode right away. Their little white tails pop up, you know, they're expressing the for the whole herd, that we all got to get out of here. There's a bunch of predators nearby, and they will take off. You know, they'll do anything to get away from us. They'll jump the stream. I've seen them, you know, do some acrobatic stuff that I just didn't think they were capable of. But they will run. The male deer, not so much, especially the adult males. The adult males do not leave. They will just continue doing whatever they're doing. And if we happen to be in their way, we have to go around them. Do you know what I mean? Like if they happen to just be standing on the trail eating and they see us coming, like they'll lift their head and look at you, and then they just go back to doing whatever they're doing, and they're totally blocking the trail. Like there's no way around them, and they're not going to move. They're just not going to move. They're not afraid of the dogs. Three dogs off leash, and I'm trying to gather them up because they're all thinking that they're going to bark at this deer, and all I'm imagining is this deer skewering my dogs with his, you know, antlers. So, yeah, interesting that it seems to be a species, it's not a species targeted phenomenon, this amygdala awareness. And obviously it's because women or females of all species or most species are responsible for raising the young. So it was obviously evolutionarily important for them to develop this hypersensitive amygdala so that they would always be on the watch for threats. In women that we deal with, this can result in behaviors that are really, really difficult to fully understand. I think it was a week or two ago, I did a video on how women hold grudges and how they just don't forget anything. And if you've spent any time with a woman, you've probably had this experience where it seems like they have a memory that goes back forever. However, this memory is not necessarily 100% accurate. It only captures the setting and the way she felt about what happened, but not necessarily the actual details of the exchange. Because I have a really good memory. I remember stuff from like when I was 2 years old, and people tell me that's really unusual that you would have memories from that age. So I have a pretty good memory. My ex-wife, she thinks that she remembers stuff, and she used to throw shit up in my face about stuff that happened at different times in our marriage, usually from a decade or longer before, and tell me that that's the reason why I hate you so much. Not exactly those words, but that was the implication, you know? And that's why our marriage sucks, is because back in, you know, 2003, you did this, that, and the other thing. And that's why you're an asshole. I'm like, okay, that's not exactly what happened. I remember, I was there, and I actually have a memory of this stuff, and that's not at all what happened. The reason why she remembers, number one, is because her brain, the amygdala, is filing away these events that she deemed as a threat. So she deemed my behavior at that time as a threat. Now, I remember my behavior. I remember what I did. As I got home from work, and without doing anything else, I just went right downstairs to the basement where I had just gotten this brand new big screen TV. Now back in 2003, big screen TVs were a big deal. They were expensive and they were huge and they were novel. So I was excited about my TV. I had been at work all day long. It was a Friday and I had a long week, and I had been wanting to get down there to just sit on my new sectional sofa right in front of the TV and just relax. I had been thinking about it all day long. So when I got home, I collapsed into that sofa and I fell asleep watching TV, and she was furious. Now, her little brain, her female brain, deemed this as a threat because I was not giving her and our children the attention that she felt they deserved and needed in that moment. She filed that away. Not only did she file it away, but she developed a narrative about this whole thing, you know, and what it meant and how intense it was and how terrible of an act this was, that I was definitely guilty of a crime. And she held a grudge, and this grudge just grew and grew and grew inside her. And the anger and resentment that she had for me for that set of circumstances festered inside her for at least a decade before it came out in full, you know, blossom. You know, it had grown to its, it had matured to its full bouquet, and she would just blast me with it. Now, it was an innocent act on my part. Granted, it may not have been the most thoughtful thing that I did. I was not thinking of her or the kids or anyone else at that moment. Actually, I just had Julia and Spencer, so I wasn't really thinking about everybody at that moment. I was thinking about myself. I was tired. I was being a little selfish, and I probably shouldn't have gone downstairs. But it certainly is not a capital crime. You know what I mean? It was not the kind of thing that you would expect a woman that would hold a grudge against you for the entire length of a marriage and hold it inside herself for 10 years and just fester on that and use that as the example for the reason why your marriage has failed. You know what I mean? Like that incident, certainly it was not the most thoughtful thing in the world to do, but it didn't rise to that level of, you know, the electric chair. But in her mind, it was the electric chair, no doubt about it. Last night, I had the opportunity to talk to this fella. He was a little older than me, about 65, 66 years old. He was calling me to get some relationship advice. And most guys, when they call me for that, it's because they're going through a divorce, or they're about to, or they're just coming out of one. And so that was my anticipation. So he starts off the conversation telling me that he married his college sweetheart and they've been together for 40 years. So I'm waiting for the, and then she did this, and then she cheated, and then this happened, whatever. But that's not the way the story went. He said, these have been the happiest 40 years that I could have possibly imagined. She has been an ideal woman for the vast majority of that time. But starting back in 2019 or 2020, when COVID hit, things started to get really rough, and her behavior changed significantly. So during that time period, after talking to him for a bit, I discovered that both her parents and his parents died of COVID during that first bout of COVID that came out, you know, that first year of COVID, before there were any, you know, vaccinations or whatever. And their treatments were not very well understood. And, you know, these were older people, obviously. So they were probably in their 80s. So they were very vulnerable to it. And following the death of the both sets of parents, there were inter-family struggles over resolving the estates of both of those sets of parents with the siblings in the household. So that created another level of stress. So you got the stress of the death of the parents, number one. That's a traumatic, difficult experience for anyone at any time in their lives. And then for it to be followed up with these court proceedings regarding the disposition of their estates, which just added a whole nother level of stress, because now you're at odds with your siblings, you know, in the wake of the death of your parents. So huge amount of stress. And then the guy himself, he was going through some health issues unrelated to COVID that took him a couple of years to get through. I mean, there's a couple of years of really chronically struggling with his health, and it caused him to lose an enormous amount of weight. And you know, him getting back on his feet and working out and rebuilding his body and getting his health up were all a part of that process. Anyway, his wife's behavior changed during this time span. And even to this day, you know, they're still under a lot of stress because not all these issues have been resolved yet. And she would blow up. She would lose her temper. She would just scream at him. And this was just such an uncommon thing, because it's uncharacteristic of her. And he was asking me, why is this happening and what can I do? And that's sort of the reason I'm making this video today, is because I recognized that he was thinking that maybe he would have to end his marriage in order to get the peace that he so desired. But the peace had been there for the vast majority of these 40 years. So something had just happened that caused her to trigger in to this behavior. And that is the amygdala. Now you may be saying, John, but why would she be afraid of what's happening here? Well, you've got a lot of turmoil in her life combined with a lot of stress and a lot of conflict. These things create fear in women, and that amygdala fires off. And what happens then is they will start dumping an enormous amount of emotion out. And the words that come with this emotion are not sensible. They frequently are accusatory. They are trying to blame you for stuff, or, you know, they can sound mean-spirited sometimes, but they are just the, they're not real. Like, these are like blanks. They're like firecrackers. These are not bullets being fired at you. These are firecrackers coming at you. They're just being carried by this wave of emotion. And I explained to him that he just needed to let this emotion pass. He just needed to be there for her and give her space to emote, just to get it all out without judgment, without having any intervention to try to stop it or try to defend himself or anything like that. Just let her get it all out. Because when she gets it all out, she'll have this cathartic moment where it's like, okay, it's done. And she has exasperated herself. She's gotten to the place where she is exhausted with this emoting. And there will be an opportunity there for him to reconnect with her, reconnect with the part of her that he recognizes and that he really loves. Because the part of her that he really hates will have left the room. I mean, it's exhausted, it's done, you know, she's got it out of her, and now he can reconnect with her. And I told him that there were some books, and I gave him some books as referrals that he could look into that would help him understand this process a little bit more. But the point is, her behaviors being so uncharacteristic to the way she had been with him for the vast majority of 40 years were not a change in her personality necessarily. The stress revealed this aspect of her that he had not seen before. Like the fear and the reactivity that women carry with them because of this oversensitive amygdala, you know, that's got more neural pathways than we have in our brains, was just triggered at an extreme level. And up until that point, she had never had that kind of fear in her life, or that kind of turmoil or stress in her life. And so when it accumulated at that moment, and he was the victim of it, he just happened to be the guy in the room when it happened, she pointed all that ire, all that anger, all that energy, that self-defense, that I need to attack at him. And I don't think she's gone off the rails. I don't think she's totally crazy. I think that she's just having difficulty dealing with the stressors that are occurring in their life right this moment. And the way that she deals with it from a physiological standpoint is to lash out. You know, as men, like when I get stressed out, I kind of do the same thing, but just not emotionally. I just go into the gym and I will lift. And you could say, well, that's kind of very similar in a lot of ways, because my physical exertion could be likened to her emotional exertion. Because in a way, when you're letting off steam in the gym and you're lifting, you are digging deep for some emotional motivation to push you through those hard reps. And it's very, very similar, you know? And when you're a little pissed off or you're a little stressed out, sometimes that sharpens your mind, you know? That fight or flight thing kicks in, and you've got some super strength. And you go, holy shit, I just squatted 400 pounds. What the hell happened there? Yeah, you get a little bit of a boost when the IRS comes knocking on your door or something. You know what I mean? So a couple years ago, I was walking down the trail, and the dogs were off leash, and there was this big copperhead snake in the middle of the trail. And this thing was sleeping when we came across him. He was curled up, actually sort of off to the side of the trail, right next to a, right on a corner where you have to kind of walk around him to get to the, to continue through the trail. And he was as big as life, and he was huge, which is uncommon for copperheads. He was really a big guy. And I don't know why he was there, because copperheads usually live under stuff. You know, they don't usually come out into the open like that. But there he was, big as life. And I can't remember, was it Shelby or Jax or Debu? I can't remember who it was who got in there. And that snake reared up and pulled its head back. And in that instant, you know, that memory, because I had fear that one of my dogs was going to be harmed by this snake, was etched in my memory for all time, you know, and the vision of that snake rearing up and me running to grab the dog and pull him back and get away from the snake, because it must have been at least 5 feet around or 5 feet long. And but he was really thick, you know, it was really, very thick. And when I saw him rear up like that, I thought, shit, I'm going to be going to the emergency room with this dog today, you know. But anyway, the amygdala etched a memory into my brain that it will be there for all time because of that. Women have the same thing, except, like I said earlier, what they perceive as being threats are not the same things that we would perceive as threats. So if you question her about her credit card bill one day, she may see that as an outward threat, you know, like why is the credit card bill so high today or this month? And she may be thinking you're accusing her and you're attacking her. So you're just inquiring, she's seeing an attack. With my ex-wife, you know, she believed that she was in danger because I was unable to, her fear was that I was not be able to support the family or support her. Now, abandoning ship does not seem like the best thing. Like, a man would not do that, you know? Like, if we were gay, if I was living with a man at that time, he'd be like, okay, dude, what do we got to do to make this work? What do I have to do? How can we get this working? How do we work together to get through this? But women will frequently get scared and bail on you. And that's why the hypergamy thing and monkey branching is so commonplace with women. You know, it's trying to find the next safe place. They want to swing from one safe place to the next safer place, you know, and if they feel that the place that you're at isn't quite so safe, they are scanning the horizon for a new safe place to go. And that's where the monkey branching comes in. And the hypergamy, you know, that's just built into them too. That's just trying to find the best possible landing place, no matter what. It has nothing to do with you as a person, how good looking you are, any of that shit. It has to do with how well can you provide and protect. If you can provide and protect at a better level than the guy who was there before, guess what? You win. If not, you're going to lose. Plain and simple. However, they won't turn these mechanisms on most of the time unless they fear something. And like I said, their fear is not logical. It's not frontal lobe stuff. It's back of the brain stuff. It's amygdala stuff. And since we don't experience fear in that same way, it's very hard for us to predict what's going on in their heads. And that is the biggest problem we have with women. FOMO, fear of missing out. When I first heard it, I didn't think much of it. I thought it was just some kind of silly internet meme. I did not think there was any substance to it at all. I believed that it was just, I don't know, something stupid that people said to recognize the jealousy that one person might have for another person's lifestyle or their car or their house or whatever. But I was wrong. Fear of missing out is a real thing to women. Emphasis on the fear. And it's not just a fear like you and I might experience it. Like, and I don't think I have a fear of missing out. I really don't. Missing out on what? But anyway, they have an existential fear. It means that they have a fear that their life lacks meaning when they see someone else living a life that's better than theirs. They see some other woman living this incredible life, and they believe that there's something empty about their own lives, that they're not having that same level. And of course, social media has just taken, you know, gasoline and poured it on this fear, this fire that burns inside them. And the longer it goes, the worse it gets. So if you're married to a woman who has FOMO and she is an active participant of the social media world, there's a really good chance that there is a fire brewing inside of her that is going to come boiling up at some point in the near future. Because as you know, women are not likely to take responsibility for their own situation. You know, she's going to look at that woman online and the wonderful life that she's living. And rather than going internally and saying, you know, I really need to up my game. I need to be a better person. I need to work harder. I need to find a new job. I need to develop some better skills. I need to, you know, take stock of what's going on in my life if I want to have that in my life. No, that's not the way they think. She's going to go, I'm married to this turd and he's not delivering. And if you're the guy, if you're the turd that's married to her, then you better believe that shit's coming. It's coming hard. Because she's looking at this other woman's husband and all the stuff that he's delivering, and she's thinking, I married the wrong guy. Yeah, married the wrong damn guy. So, and this is not going to come out all at once. I mean, it's subtle, you know. It's every time she logs on to Instagram or Facebook or whatever her poison du jour is, and she's going to see these women, these other women, living these wonderful lives and looking great in their bathing suits, and she's going to think, well, I can't even get into that kind of shape because I am so, you know, tied down with all this family stuff. You know, that's what's going on in her head. It's in the back of her mind. You know, if I didn't have all these responsibilities, I could look like that. And I could be in the south of France right now. And I could be on that sailboat topless right this minute. Yeah, that's what she's thinking. But it's not like fully formed thoughts. It's more like a feeling that she has. You know, it's a feeling of jealousy and envy. But it takes root inside her, and this feeling eventually begins to mature, and it turns into a little bit of irritation, and that irritation turns into a frustration and anger, and it grows into being kind of a resentment. And suddenly you now are the target of that resentment, and she feels like everything that you do is contributing to her inability to live this dream life that she sees, and you eventually are going to hear about it. She is going to express it in ways that are going to be unexpected at a time unrelated to anything else. And it will be camouflaged in some other issue. It'll be camouflaged in something completely unrelated. But the anger and the resentment and the rage that will come out of her will be out of context with the event that's happening right then. It's a buildup. And this is what happens to women, is it just sort of festers inside them for a very, very long time until it finally gets to the place where they have a way to express it, and it boils up and it blows out. And next thing you know, you're standing there receiving this ire, this anger, this rage that you really had nothing to do with. If you find yourself in one of these situations where you are the recipient of a lot of unexpected anger and rage, there's no point in trying to defend yourself. You know, there really isn't. You're only going to make things worse. The more you push back against whatever is coming at you, the more insane it's going to become. So you're better off just letting her empty the chamber, if you will. So let her shoot all of her bullets at you. If you're lucky, she'll get to the end of it and she'll realize how stupid it is and how that balance it was. And you just sit there and take it and let her empty it out. Hopefully, if she's half a woman, she'll realize that she was out of line and she'll come around and she'll apologize to you. But this should be your signal that this is probably the beginning of the end of your relationship if she doesn't come around and come at you with an apology. Because the seeds of the destruction of your marriage have already been planted, and what you're seeing are just the first sprouts, and it's on its way. And if you're just in a relationship with a girl, again, these are the first sprouts of this relationship coming to an end. If it didn't end there, like mine did from earlier in the video, that girlfriend who wanted to move in with me, she never talked to me again. Not a word. Not a single word. She just disappeared. Yes. It was shocking how angry she was. Anyway, that's all I got for you today. I hope you guys have enjoyed the video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who's got an explosive girlfriend or wife, please share it with them. If you need some help dealing with your own explosive girlfriend or wife, or you want me to have a conversation with you about helping you interpret her behaviors, please let me know. You can book a free consultation, you know, off my website. And if it seems like it's something that maybe requires a little bit more energy, then we can work something out. But anyway, until next time, remember, stay healthy. And if you can, stay single.